Cool.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Quite surprised, I'll be honest with you, by what you said last week about Ukraine, describing it as a territorial dispute. It's picked up a lot of blowback, as you know. Only surprised because of your military background and because you were on record as supporting helping Ukraine after the invasion of Crimea. Do you regret actually just using that one phrase?
Well, I think that it's
a territorial dispute.
I think it's been mischaracterized. Obviously, Russia invaded that. That was wrong. They invaded Crimea and took that in 2014. That was wrong.
So part of the answer here is just refuting the kind of implied position that he was somehow pro-Russian or not in favor of Ukraine defending themselves. That was part of the answer he was giving to Piers Morgan on this.
What I'm referring to is kind of where the fighting is going on now, which is that western border or eastern border region, Donbas, and then Crimea. And you have a situation where Russia has had that, I don't think legitimately, but they've had, there's a lot of ethnic Russians there. So that's some difficult fighting. And so whatever, the conflict area, that's what I was referring to. And so it wasn't that I thought Russia had a right to that. And so if I should have made that more clear, I could have done it.
So I love this answer in part because, as he said, if I could have been a little bit more clear about that, fine, I'll take the blame for that. But also that he certainly wasn't saying that Russia should be given the territory or that it was okay. He opposed the Crimean invasion even back in 2014. There was none of that. And so these comments by him that got, I think, pretty widely distributed and mischaracterized, I was glad to hear him address some of this with Piers Morgan.
But I think the larger point is, okay, Russia has not shown the ability to take over Ukraine, to topple the government, or certainly to threaten NATO. That's a good thing. They've been weakened. You now have the fighting in those areas. I just don't think that's a sufficient interest for us to escalate more involvement. I would not want to see, you know, American troops involved there. But the idea that I think somehow Russia was justified in invading, that's nonsense.
Yeah, it is nonsense, and nonsense to think that he would say that. And I like the nuance he's giving here, which is, you know, he's not saying we shouldn't be sending arms. He's not saying we shouldn't be helping financially. He's just saying we shouldn't escalate. There's no reason for Americans with, you know, in troop involvement to become a part of this issue.
So if I could snap my fingers, I'd give it back to Ukraine 100%. But the reality is, what is America's involvement in terms of escalating with more weapons? And certainly ground troops, I think, would be a mistake. So that was the point I was trying to make. But Russia was wrong to invade. They were wrong to take Crimea.
Absolutely. And also, by the way, the idea that the nature of the war right now means that it doesn't look likely that Russia is going to be able to take over all of Ukraine. But it also doesn't look all that likely, although he never said this in the interview. I think you can infer this from the comments. It doesn't look all that likely that Ukraine is going to be able to take back all of their territory either. And that's the challenge, is we're kind of entrenched in the current, or they are kind of entrenched in the current delineation. And because of that, it's a territorial dispute at this point. It's a question of, well, how much is Russia going to be able to control and keep? And of course, the Ukrainians want 0%. Of course, what Vladimir Putin wants is 100%, you know, right? And so, you know, the Ukrainians' goal is to get them entirely out of the country. And the question at this point is, well, based on how it's kind of locked in, how much of a difference are things going to make? He also, I thought, had a really interesting comment about Putin himself personally.
What's your view of Putin?
Look, I think he's got grand ambitions. I think he's hostile to the United States. But I think the thing that we've seen is he doesn't have the conventional capability to realize his ambitions. And so he's basically a gas station with a bunch of nuclear weapons. And so for us, one of the things we could be doing better is utilizing our own energy resources in the United States. We could be permitting natural gas pipelines from Marcellus, doing a lot in Alaska. That's where he gets all his power, and obviously he's influenced Europe by having so much energy. So the way to hit Putin is to hit him with energy.
That's a second dimension, or, you know, second level of thinking strategically about how to undermine Russia, right? If we could take away their financial source, as in the energy sales, and, you know, if we could make that a hurt to them, and also that would make Europe more independent. You know, weird thing, energy independence, like that ought to be a goal, like of national policy or of NATO. So thinking that way about it. But I love this expression. I probably have heard this before, but I still love the expression.
He's basically a gas station with a bunch of nuclear weapons.
I mean, That's just, yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to make the case. And it is, it's a weird one. Like, Russia has massive natural resources, right? In fact, there's kind of this, I don't know, somewhat old at this point, I suppose, argument. But, you know, America has vast natural resources. Russia has vast natural resources and much more landmass, right? How is it that we have had all of our prosperity and they have had so little, right? Well, but then look at places like Taiwan or Japan with, you know, or South Korea with virtually nothing in terms of natural resources and yet immense wealth and technological productivity and, you know, quality of life for their citizens. Why? Huh. Open flow of information and democratic government? Is it maybe a difference? Not having a, you know, authoritarian system that keeps everybody in check and doesn't trust an individual freedom. Is it maybe possible that that's important? And particularly the free flow of information, like First Amendment kind of concept of research, innovation, sharing of ideas, something that you don't typically see in, I don't know, like a communist country. Okay, just a kind of a thought there. There's all kinds of ways to think about, you know, the world and the countries that operate in it and, you know, why do some do well and why do some do poorly? Well, you know, government matters, right? Philosophy of the culture matters. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Watching an accident in Molino. This is Highway 29 just south of the Atmore cutoff, and it doesn't look like a roadblock. Certainly caution there. And wherever you are, if you see an accident or a slowdown or have any traffic tip, certainly text 437-1620. Watch out. I think there's a dense fog advisory. It was pretty foggy driving in. Of course, some heavy rain in areas. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
One of our snarky listeners texted in yesterday and says, maybe it's a smart fog this time.
I saw that. I know, right?
You don't know that maybe. Fog's so dense.
You know what? That is absolutely true. I haven't dated it yet.
Fair enough. Y'all are the best. Hey, if you are looking for that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. And I'll tell you one of the things about them. In fact, the reason we bought from them when we did was because they were the only ones who had the vehicle that we wanted to look at. What happened is we had the Grand Caravan that we'd had since our oldest son was born. So we'd had it for a while. And we bought it used when we got it. So we had driven it into the ground, which is what we do with cars. And it was going to need a head gasket, but not like immediately, like 6 months maybe we had left on that vehicle. But we started looking, which is what you do. You start looking to find the car you're going to buy when the time comes. Now was not the time. Well, the problem is we couldn't test drive that model year of a Honda Odyssey to make sure it was the right one because nobody was selling them back. And the ones that had been returned back to the dealers or leased off or whatever, they went through the pre-owned certified, and you couldn't drive them until they were cleaned up. And by the time they were cleaned up, there was a waiting list and they'd already been bought. So it was a total catch-22. We couldn't find one to drive. Frontier had one. We called it our unicorn as a joke. Like, and my wife found one. She's like, oh, let's go drive it. I'm like, all right, let's drive it. So we drove it. We liked it, but we weren't ready to buy. And they said, let's look at the price. We're like, we're not buying yet. And they're like, let's look at the price. I said, okay, fine. So we look at the price. They're like, well, that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit? Sure. Can you give us a day? Sure. Come back a day later. We call back, actually. Can you guys come down a little bit more? They're like, yeah. We're like, can we buy it? You know, like it was that easy because they had the vehicle. And the point is, you know, sometimes it's hard to find things or you know, you're looking for something. They've either got it or they can find it. I know they can find it for you. So Frontier Motors is just a great place to buy good quality used vehicles and a lot of selection, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Feed More Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Pete Moore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Moore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit. New VCI. See dealer for details.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The 13th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday. Run, walk, or roll through downtown Pensacola. The start and finish will be at Seville Square. All ages welcome. See NavyFederal.org for more. The Pensacola Jazz Fest is Saturday and Sunday at Seville Square Gazebo Stage. Enjoy music from local to national artists, food, arts, crafts, and more. See PensacolaJazzFest.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right. This one time, I'll let you ask me about my affairs.
Good morning, 621 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That storm that stretches from basically the edge of Texas along the coast all the way over to like Panama City vicinity is right going down I-10, and right now we're kind of in the gap. For the moment, everything is relatively clear. You might see a couple of, splotchy areas of rain, but more to come. In fact, there is an area right over southern Mississippi right now that they're just getting hammered. So that's going to be heading our way maybe an hour, two, three, something like that from now. I'm never very good at estimating the speed of the map and then when that's going to arrive here, but I'd say something like that, maybe, a little bit later on in the morning. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump is calling his New York hush money payment case a, quote, new way of cheating on elections. In an interview that aired yesterday, he said he doesn't know if it'll hurt or help his chances for another run at the White House in 2024. Of course, he says he did nothing wrong as it relates to campaign finance laws as well. California Governor Gavin Newsom's proposal to penalize oil companies for alleged price gouging is now headed to his desk after it got passed in the California legislature. The bill was approved yesterday. Under the plan, a watchdog within the California Energy Commission would have the authority to examine inside oil company data to look for patterns of price manipulation. There's a new study out that estimates the world's population could peak at 8.5 billion sometime in the 2050s. Scientists with the Earth for All Initiative for the Global Challenges Foundation conducted this study. They based their estimates on what they're calling a giant leap of investment in economic development, education, and health.
They're saying the Earth's population is going to peak mid-2050s at 8.5 billion.
That's what they're saying.
That is horrifying news. I mean, genuinely horrifying news. And I'll tell you why, David. Thanks so much for the update. What are we seeing? What are the trends that we're seeing?
That people aren't having children.
Yeah, they're not having kids, and we're living longer.
Yeah.
Do the economic math. That's real.
We're going to be old in 2050.
We're all going to. And when do we have to spend the most money on healthcare?
When we're older.
So we're living longer in the time when healthcare is far more expensive, when people are not being productive because they're retired and they're receiving whatever payments are coming, and fewer people are being workers. Good plan, folks. No, it's horrifying. Listen, you remember China used to have a one-child policy, right?
Yes.
Remember they used to, and they don't anymore. In fact, they are encouraging now people to have kids because they realize, oh, crap, what'd we do? Like, seriously, they put themselves in a horrible age-related demographic spiral because they don't have enough workers producing enough to support the aging population of elderly people. You're seeing this in Japan. You're seeing this. You're not seeing this as much like in India, okay? But, there was always this, we're overpopulating the world, which I have never believed because I have been to a lot of places like, Nebraska, where there's plenty of land. We're not overpopulating the world. That's a total myth. But the point is that when we've got people into this kind of Paul Ehrlich population bomb Malthusian notion that we're overpopulating the world and the widespread availability of contraception touted as a great control of your reproductive rights, what we're winding up doing is we're getting people to make fewer babies. And I don't know about you, but the book I read says be fruitful and multiply, maybe for a reason, because when we do this, when we under-repopulate, and the U.S. is better at repopulating than most countries, but we are still not repopulating well enough, this is a huge problem for us as people get older and not enough younger people are coming along to produce and support enough for all those people. Or then again, maybe what you say is, but we'll have robots. It'll be fine. You know?
Well, it might be.
Just let the robots run everything with AI. Everything will be good. 625 on News Radio 92.3. That's right. Well, you know, or just enslave us or, you know, say that everybody over 50, that's too old, Logan's Run style. Of course, that was 30, but, you know, whatever. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
You know how you have a knack of making things worse? There it is.
I didn't just make shining. It worse. I just gave you a different
view. You just highlighted it. It's traffic on the fives. Two accidents, neither a roadblock. One Highway 90 in Jernigan Road in Milton, but not showing a roadblock there. And then 29 at the Atmore Cutoff in Molino. And again, not a roadblock there either. It looks like they've both been moved on to the side. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, you can text them in. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Mm-hmm. All right. So I saw a story, and it led me down a rabbit hole yesterday. But it's a really good rabbit hole. Come with me.
Okay,
come with me. This is a fun one. Headline. According to the trend, well, headline is, peanut butter is now a liquid, according to the TSA.
Oh.
According to the Transportation Security Administration, peanut butter is classified as a liquid, which means you have to rethink bringing the jar of Skippy on your next vacation. TSA gets on Twitter this week to make the friendly reminder explaining that you can only bring it on your carry-on if it's 3.4 ounces or less. My first thought is this a thing? I mean, are people taking, like, big old bottles of peanut butter on the plane with them? Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's a great snack, you know, some carrots and apple to dip in, whatever, but okay. So it says on Twitter, you know, that the Twitter post is, you may not be nuts about it, but TSA considers your peanut butter a liquid. And I'm thinking, did the TSA start to get funny? when did the TSA start to be entertaining? And sure enough, I looked, and March 21st, the Twitter feed says, you may not be nuts about it, but TSA considers your peanut butter a liquid. It's actually PB, so they're being cute there, too. In carry-ons, it needs to be 3.4 ounces or less. Make sure all your travel-size liquids fit in one quart-size bag. Hashtag peanut butter. And then it has a picture of what I can only describe as the most nondescript. I can describe as nondescript. jar of peanut butter, and it says peanut butter. A liquid has no definite shape and takes a shape dictated by its container, is one definition of a liquid, to which some people have replied, you know, salt and sand would like to speak to you about your definition. Because salt
Great
and sand
point.
Will also...
Yeah, sure, and rocks. And, yeah. Yeah, right.
So there I am just kind of scrolling randomly through the TSA's Twitter feed when I find loads of entertainment. I just like, for example, did you know that traveling with your favorite chips and dip, picture of nacho cheese and tortillas, you don't want it to become all chips and no dip, so be sure your creamy sauces are in 3.4 ounces or less in carry-ons. In queso, you're wondering, all your travel-size liquids need to fit in a single quart-size bag. So they've got some dad jokes, basically.
I love that.
You know, and there's all kinds of things. Like, okay, one of the reasons that peanut butter, by the way, they say has always been classified
As a liquid?
This is not a new thing.
About it. Yeah.
It's just that they haven't, it's been in effect for two decades since they've been existed. But, you know, anyway, they say you can't creamy dips, spreads, hummus, jam, jelly, all classified as liquid, same requirements as peanut butter. Somebody, snarky comment. Thank you for keeping us safe from peanut butter. Not all heroes wear capes.
I'll give some. Good. Right.
No, but.
Right.
No, in December, a guy from Rhode Island traveling JFK had smuggled a disassembled gun inside a jar of Jif peanut butter.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, try to use that gun.
yeah, right.
But, you know, but they and here's the weird thing. They found it in the checked baggage. So in checked baggage, inside of a peanut butter, you can just check a gun. You can travel with a gun in your checked baggage. That's actually allowed, but... Okay, in two separate jars. Anyway, I kept on scrolling down, and I just found, you know, there was just funny things on this page. The nachos, they're, you know, doing scans on pets. You know, they found, you know, knives and canes, all that kind of... I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that they find. And then the one that, I don't know, this is the one that made me laugh the most. I don't know why, it just did. Do you know what is the name of the zone... After you go through TSA screening, you know, you take your belt off, you take your wallet out, you put all your stuff and your shoes and all that. Do you know what the name is of the area where you kind of put yourself back together?
The red zone?
That's for loading and unloading only.
I know!
No, there's actually a name for it. You ready?
Uh-huh.
It's called the recombobulation area.
No, it's not. I'm
looking at a picture of an airport with a sign.
That's the perfect description.
Recombobulation area.
That's the perfect description.
The post says, no luck needed here. You'll always recombobulate less with TSA PreCheck because, you know, discombobulate means to separate, pull apart, make disorganized. And so when you're getting your belt and your stuff and your pockets, you're recombobulating yourself.
That makes sense. Makes sense. That's great.
The recombobulation area. I don't know why that just cracked me up. So there you go. That's your randomly looking through the TSA's Twitter feed, moments that made me laugh. Oh, and keep the party off the plane for St. Patrick's Day with a picture of green beer here. Who knew? TSA had jokes.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Nashville police say some sort of resentment may have led 28-year-old Audrey Hale to kill six people, three of them 9-year-olds, yesterday at a school they once attended.
Police say Hale, who identifies as a transgender man, likely planned the shooting ahead of time. When they searched Hale's home, they found maps of the school with details on different entry points.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. Kentucky Senate Republican Rand Paul's office confirms a member of his staff was stabbed several times in Washington, D.C. Saturday, apparently at random.
The staffer was treated for life-threatening injuries. 42-year-old Glenn Neal was arrested. He's been charged with assault with the intent to kill. So in a statement, Senator Rand Paul wrote, "We are relieved to hear the suspect has been arrested. At this time, we would ask for privacy so everyone can focus on healing and recovery."
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. The suspect had just gotten out of prison the day before. Court papers say he told police he'd heard a voice saying it was going to get him. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 70 degrees, cloudy and rainy here in Pensacola this morning. An inmate that only had months left in his sentence is now going to serve another 30 years in prison for killing an inmate at the Century Correctional Institution a few years ago. Markel Sawyer from Milton was sentenced to 30 years yesterday for killing 79-year-old inmate 3 years ago. Sawyer was found guilty of manslaughter. Prosecutors say he hit 79-year-old Nelson Sanderson with a combination lock, killing him. Investigators say Sawyer told him he did that because the Illuminati made him do it. He only had 9 months left on his sentence. Well, we've been seeing some strong storms across the area this morning in the northern portion of the county. People even reporting large hail. Our friends over at northescambia.com posted some photos of golf ball and even tennis ball size hail that fell this morning. Nikki Fried has filed an ethics complaint now against Governor Ron DeSantis that alleges that the governor violated ethics laws by accepting gifts from his political committee, Friends of Ron DeSantis. In the complaint, Fried alleges that DeSantis took monetary gifts from the committee between January and February. There's been no reaction from Governor on those allegations as of yet. Speaking of the governor, Governor DeSantis says the transformative expanded charter school voucher program will keep Florida number one in education.
If you just look at the private scholarships that students in Florida have been able to utilize, and these are mostly low-income families, also middle-income families, we represent one-third of the entire number of scholarship recipients in our entire country.
And the governor signed House Bill 1 yesterday, which expands school choice to every Florida student and eliminates financial eligibility restrictions. Escambia County is requesting over $33 million in grant funding from the Florida DEO to go towards a series of stormwater and drainage improvement projects.
If you read through this, I've read through it multiple times. The stormwater drainage projects look to me like they're going to get funded. Doesn't have to be Beach Haven, but it seemed to me that would where we'd want to put our interest wherever they are in the county to get the funding, and I hope you all see it the same way.
Commissioner Mike Kohler there, at $6 million being requested to convert Beach Haven from septic to sewer. Escambia, Santa Rosa, and the city of Pensacola all submitting three projects each to be considered. The largest individual request is $30 million for a new ECAD center that would also function as a hurricane shelter. Santa Rosa County asking for $7 million total for drainage projects, and Pensacola's three projects total $46 million. The DEO is making $53 million available for Hurricane Sally recovery. Well, details are out on what children were exposed to at that drag show in Orlando. The Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation released a report yesterday on a a drag queen Christmas. The DBPR found three underage kids were at that December show, but say they were not exposed to seeing any genitals. The kids, though, did see provocative outfits, acts simulating sexual activity, and a performer swinging what appeared to be male genitalia. Local reports there found that one performer did unzip and dropped meat onto the stage. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives.
Was that a euphemism?
No.
I mean, the guy put his... I'm not trying to
no,
be
like,
graphic,
like
but he was...
beef.
Oh, like...
or something, like meat.
Oh, okay, good.
Like a simulated meat.
I gotcha. Okay, never mind. Anyway, as we take a look at our roads, 29, this is south of the Atmore cutoff in Molina. And I'm showing the roadway is clear, but it was a vehicle crash that happened just a little while ago, certainly. Caution there, caution wherever you are, as you know. And then another accident in Milton. This is Highway 90 and Jernigan Road. Technically, I think it's Pace, but roadway is open there, too. So not showing any slowdowns. It's going to stop you from where you're going. I will say, though, if you're on I-10, there is an issue at Dufuniak Springs. The roadway is blocked, a vehicle crash with injuries. And it's on 90 and just off 10, but man, 10 is backed up because of this. Not that that's in our listening area. It is far off, but man, it's quite a backup. Backed up all the way to Crestview, it looks like. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. 6:36. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 first warning forecast.
We are going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms throughout the morning and afternoon. A few storms could be strong, low in risk for severe weather. As you head into the overnight period, temperatures will be dropping. High today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. We're going to be seeing a nicer day on Wednesday with partly cloudy skies, high near 70 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 70, it's rainy across the area right now. 70 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Despite the recent turmoil in the bank sector, analysts at the Peterson Institute for International Economics say a recession is still not the most likely outcome for the U.S. economy over the next 2 years. They say the data has been more resilient than they thought it would be. In particular, the labor market has added an average of over 400,000 jobs in the past 2 months, while demand and spending have also held up, but they note we're in for a slog for the next 2 years. Kroger has opened a customer fulfillment center in Aurora, Colorado, to deliver groceries and home essentials for customers across the region. The approximately 300,000 square foot facility will provide delivery to customers up to 90 minutes away. Kroger Delivery says it uses temperature controlled vans and optimized delivery routes to ensure the freshest products are delivered to customers' homes. On Wall Street, futures little changed after stocks closed mixed yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
The steak experts at Omaha Steaks are helping you spring into something delicious with their semi-annual sale. Grab all your favorites at 50% off, like tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, air chilled chicken, and more. Plus, use promo code QUALITY at omahasteaks.com at checkout for an additional $30 off your order. Get fired up and spring into something special. But hurry, 50% off site-wide is only for a limited time. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for an additional $30 off during their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required.
It's March, and you know what that means? Taxes are almost due. Jackson Hewitt can help you win tax season. That's the sound of your maximum tax refund. The sound of getting 50% off tax prep. The sound of many of our competitors' prices going up. And the sound of getting to your nearest Jackson Hewitt. Hurry in for 50% off tax prep before this offer expires April 9th. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Now about where we've come from and what don't we know?
Okay, we know once you've got a self-replicating entity, which nowadays is DNA, but it wasn't originally, once you've got life started, once natural selection, Darwinian natural selection has got going, then we pretty much understand the 4 billion year history of what's given rise to us and all other living creatures. We don't know how it started. And that's still a mystery, and it may always be a mystery, because it happened a very long time ago, and we may never know exactly what did happen. We know the kind of thing it had to be.
I'll put a little bit more of an uncertainty asterisk on some of that than Richard Dawkins wants to admit. But I don't know why I had a Piers Morgan thing this weekend. I was watching this interview with Richard Dawkins, who is, of course, a famous evolutionary biologist. Actually, I've read the first three books that he was famous for, his big books, The Selfish Gene, The Extended Phenotype, and Blind Watchmaker was the first one. And I did an independent study on evolutionary biology when I was a senior in college because I needed to graduate, and I realized I wasn't gonna because I was missing a credit in some kind of natural sciences or something. And they're like, you need to take something. I'm like, oh, I'll do an independent study. Best class I ever took. Because it was, you know, I read this, and I read Phil Kitcher on Vaulting Ambition, and E.O. Wilson on Human Nature, and a bunch of stuff. Just, you know, read books and report on them. Like, it was a really great class. Anyway, so I understand this stuff fairly well, and I think Richard Dawkins, though he is a, you know, raging anti-Christian and an atheist, and of course I don't subscribe to his views of human origins either, but I understand them, and I think he does the best job of anybody explaining it for the, you know, the layman, basically. And the issue of getting to that first self-replicating system is actually kind of a big step, you know. Like, that's kind of a, you know, if that's your fuzzy gray area,
What kind of thing do you think it was?
It was the origin of a self-replicating molecule, a molecule that makes copies of itself. DNA is such a molecule, but the original one was almost certainly not DNA, because DNA is what's been called a high-tech replicator. There had to be a precursor to DNA. Something, the laws of chemistry, gave rise to a molecule which had this unusual property of making copies of itself, which mutated, changed in random ways. And that gave rise to competition between rival versions of it, and that gave rise to the whole panoply of life eventually.
Yeah, if you can believe that something like that would arise naturally through any process aside from a design, it's an interesting perspective, and certainly the one that evolutionary biologists take. That's not the reason I wanted to talk about Richard Dawkins. We talked about him on Friday in The Transgressors, and this was just kind of warm up, just kind of, you know, getting you in the mindset of talking to a, you know, world-famous evolutionary biologist and atheist. This was more the interesting stuff, is he and Piers Morgan had a really good conversation about cancel culture, wokeism, and the university.
This cancel culture has even come to your door. What do you make of that? People these days not wanting to hear opinions they don't like.
I think it's very sad. I think, especially in universities, where I spent all my life, universities are places where you should be free to speak your mind, listen even to something that you don't like. And it's very tragic that universities seem to have bought into the idea that if you don't like what you think you're going to hear from someone, you should shut them up and refuse to let them speak.
Yeah, the notion of control and safe spaces and all of that, I completely agree with him. And not just even to something you disagree with, but especially to something you disagree with. You should listen to people you disagree with. You should be friends with people you disagree with. You should read books and articles by people that challenge your ideas. I know I do. I hope you do. Unfortunately, much of the time these days, the left does not. Now, it's also true people on the right. You know, they think that somehow, like, it's a threat or it's a, you know, it's going to invade your mind with some. Well, okay, can happen. But are your ideas really so weak that they're that easily susceptible to being manipulated just by being exposed to somebody who views the world differently?
Yeah, I mean, I find it completely baffling that at a place of education where the whole point is to test your own thought processes.
Yep.
And to deliberately be exposed to other thoughts, we're now in a place where a lot of students feel they just don't want to hear it. They only want to hear stuff that validates their own opinion.
They use this word safe. They want to feel safe. And university is the one place where you should not feel safe.
Yes,
certainly
it should
not
be
intellectually
dangerous.
Safe. Yes, exactly.
In terms of thinking.
Yes.
You know, I just think you want to be constantly challenged and provoked about what you believe and what you think.
You want to be physically safe, but yes. intellectually you should be challenged.
Amen. Like, absolutely. That's, by the way, you know, I know what some people might be thinking is, well, yet you see DeSantis is clamping down on no, trying to restore some balance at the universities because they are so left, all of them. I mean, genuinely, so far to the left on these things that genuine diversity of opinion is a rare thing. Comparatively. So, they talk some more about this, and it's actually kind of interesting. I'll get to that in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Two accidents. One in Molino, just south of the Atmore cutoff on Highway 29. Looks like that's not a roadblock. And then another in Pace 90 and Jernigan Road. That's not a roadblock either. Use caution there. Lots of fog in the area. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. I don't think I have the clip pulled, but when Ron DeSantis was talking to Piers Morgan on the Friday episode, and he was talking about going to Harvard and Yale and talking about going into the, you know, basically a, you know, a kid from, you know, Florida who went up there and, you know, was in the room with devoted communists and atheists. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. But that's the common thing. That's the most common thing at the university level. Anyway, so back to this conversation between Richard Dawkins and Piers Morgan. And here's where they got into some of the issues that we talked about Friday, the ecology and evolutionary biology folks, the EBLAPS, remember I talked about that, the board that wants to, you know, look at all the words in science and get rid of the words that might be problematic. Like, they want to replace male and female with, you know, sex, sperm producing and egg producing, or XY people and XX people. I mean, this kind of utter nonsense that has captured the academy.
Members of the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Language Project, funded by scientists in the US and Canada, produced a list of 24 harmful terms. These included male, female, man, woman, mother, and father. They recommended using phrases like sperm producing, egg producing, XY, XX individual.
For real.
And they should be used to avoid reinforcing societally imposed ideas of a sex binary. To which your response was, the only possible response is contemptuous ridicule.
Yes.
Which I cheered, I have to say, because it was complete madness.
It really is utter madness, and yet that's driving the academy these days.
What's extraordinary to me is they want to, what they call, degender and neutralize language, but they're doing it from a completely false pretext that you can somehow pretend biology doesn't exist, particularly when it comes to someone's sex. I mean, it's incontrovertible. There's no scientific doubt about this, and yet a small group of people have been quite successful, actually, in reshaping
very successful
vast swathes of the way society talks and is allowed to talk.
It's bullying. And we've seen the way J.K. Rowling has been bullied, Kathleen Stock has been bullied. They've stood up to it. But it's very upsetting the way this tiny minority of people has managed to capture the discourse and to really talk arrant nonsense.
Yeah, look... there's a certain element to which it's fair to compare, okay? You think you'd never get into a cult because you're too smart for all of that, right? I mean, which is what everybody thinks. I'm too smart to ever get into a cult. And what do you find about people who wind up in cults?
It's, most of them are pretty smart.
Yeah,
very smart. Kind of surprising.
Right. Lawyers, you know, attorneys. And, I mean, if you think about it, if you're a cult leader trying to accumulate power and wealth, what do? Do you go for homeless people? No, you go for, you know, professionals, like people who have money and can donate to your
and people whose parents have money, yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, fortunes to pillage, okay? So you think you'll never wind up in a cult. You think you'd never wind up in that kind of a situation. We have a kind of cult mindset surrounding all of this stuff right now in this country. This tiny little minority of people have convinced everybody else to buy into this gender anarchy nonsense, and everybody thinks they're doing the virtuous thing by perpetuating it because there's a part of them that laughs at it, but there's another part of them that's like, well, I don't know, maybe for real, you know? And what they're getting at is, no, we need to talk about this stuff and be honest about this and examine these claims honestly, rigorously.
What's the answer to it?
Science. I mean,
love that.
There are two sexes. You can talk about gender if you wish, and that's a subjective.
When people say there are 100 genders, for example.
I'm not interested in that. As a biologist, there are two sexes, and that's all there is to it.
That's all there is to it, which, of course, was the clip that I played on Friday. But here was the rest of his comments.
Race is actually a much more fluid concept than sex. For one thing, many people are of mixed race, so they really can be, you know...
Well, I had my DNA done, for example.
Yes.
Properly tested. It came back, I had zero English DNA. Zero. I actually have 6% Middle Eastern,
yes,
for example.
Crazy.
Right? So that was a shock to me. I had no idea.
Yes.
A lot of Celt, a lot of Irish and Scottish and Welsh.
Yes.
But no English whatsoever.
Yes. Well, we're all mixed, and therefore it actually is a perfectly reasonable thing for somebody to identify as some particular race if they want to. But sex is not like that. Sex really is binary.
Yeah, what he's getting at with race is kind of interesting. Like, if you've got, you know, five or six fairly well-known ethnicities, you know, racial background to you, and you prefer to identify as one of those, there's something sensible about that. He's not saying, you know, the white person with no ethnicity to Nigeria wants to... I mean, he's not saying that. He's just saying there's something sort of meaningful about that, potentially, but this other business... Oh, my goodness. No. Oh, and by the way, somebody texts me and says... Well, Andrew, don't you know that there's a cult mentality around MAGA conservatism around Trump? Oh, sure. I mean, of course there can be. It's not, you know, nobody's got the monopoly on the nature and shape of the ideology that can be cultish. Of course. Just saying, watch out. You know, when you get yourselves in an environment where people don't question, don't critically reason, don't disagree, like dissent is discouraged, that's your first major red flag. When you feel like you shouldn't speak up in dissent, you shouldn't criticize, you shouldn't hold a different view. Oh, God. Be careful. That's pre-cult, right? And then, you know, real cult is when you talk about much more extreme versions of that. But still, that's, you know, be careful. And so the university setting should absolutely be the place where asking questions, disagreeing, you should never feel the need to, like, conform to the prevailing ideology. Certainly not for a grade. And yet, I mean, I taught at the college level for 10 years. I can attest. There's a lot of this kind of stuff going around. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a moment. Did we ask
when
good traffic?
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next-day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies, for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z's Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended-release B vitamins.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
The Dave Ramsey Show, afternoons at 1.
after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Average for gallon of gas, 3.43. Florida average, 3.35. Texas is 3.08, and California is 4.82. In Navarre, 3.15 east and west, and kind of all along Highway 98. The westernly you go, I said it, you get to the Marathon a little farther down is 3.13, so things get a little bit cheaper. 3.09 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy there across the street. 3.23 in Gulf Breeze proper at the Exxon. In Milton this morning, looks like, that's not a good price. But both the CEFCO and the Raceway have 329. 319, sorry, that's not the best price either. Tom Thumb, the Cumberland Farms by the down the way in Pea Ridge has 314 and then 329 through Pace. I don't know why Pea Ridge is cheaper this morning, but it is by a lot. If you're in Pensacola on 9 Mile, the Walmart has 319, 319 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, the Shell at Cervantes has 319 as well. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen. PeteMoreImports.com. Candy's got traffic on the fives. Candy?
And this is brought to you by your local Staples store. Watching two accidents, neither of which is a roadblock. 29 at the Atmore cutoff, showing an accident. Looks like it is clear, though. And then 90 at Jernigan and Pace. It looks like that's clear as well. It looks like Crestview is cleared up a little bit. There was an accident at, Dufuniac Springs. Technically, it was a big, big backup, and it looks like that has been cleared. Certainly, if you, not that that's in our listening area, but if you happen to be heading that way. Certainly, if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Police say the school shooter that killed three kids and three adults at the Covenant Presbyterian School in Nashville yesterday had maps of that school and was armed with two rifles, which they say had been obtained legally. All three children that were killed were under the age of 10. Flags across the nation have been ordered to half-staff in honor of the victims until Friday. Two migrants are in custody after a daring escape from Cuba. They flew into Key West International Airport on a motorized hang glider the other day. They're currently being held at the Broward Transitional Center in Pompano Beach. And did you guys know that today is National Weed Appreciation Day?
You mean like dandelions and
yard weeds.
Thorny things, okay.
Yeah. I didn't want you to get the wrong idea
No. It's not April 20th, right?
No, absolutely not. Checking. It's Weed Appreciation Day. Ecologists reminding Americans that a lot of plants that we would call weeds in our yards are actually very beneficial to the ecosystem.
Yeah, but we're still pulling them, right? We're still pulling them, right?
Well, of course.
Okay, just
checking. You can't let them overrun your nice grass.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I want the pretty thing. David, thanks so much for the update. 657 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, somebody texts in, and this is actually, it's a good point we didn't get time to make yesterday, and I want to take a second to make it. Somebody says, when you're talking about like gender fluidity and transgender and all that kind of stuff, somebody says, people with, you know, fluid notions of who they are as boys or girls, men or women, that's been around for a long time, as long as there's been people. Okay, there's two sexes, male and female, right? That's clear. But then, you know, people who are on a spectrum between, especially what society defines as masculine and feminine, which is, you know, its own interesting kind of construct. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's happens to be gay, and what that person was saying is, you know, it is a female, okay? And so she's lesbian, and she says, but I grew up kind of identifying more in masculine ways as a tomboy. And she says, I grew up in an environment where that was kind of allowed for me, you know, whereas some people are trying to shoehorn them into one version of being a man, one version of being a woman. And she says, you know, the thing that's interesting about the left these days is it's highly intolerant. Instead of allowing somebody like me to just be a girl who kind of likes boyish things, the left these days would try to make me a boy, would try to teach me that what I should become is change who I am. And I'm so glad that was never done to me. I'm so glad that I was allowed to be a female, even though I had sort of different ideas about what that would look like. You know, we used to just say tomboy, right? And that's a great example of the intolerance of the modern, you know, trans movement these days, a lot of times it really does try to force you to become the other thing because you say that's the only normal way of expressing it. Anyway, quick future news here. Is Blockbuster coming back? On their website, I wish, but probably not. And it's
we can get other jobs.
Yeah, right.
You and DC.
Yeah, be sure to rewind those DVDs. Whatever. Is DeSantis running in 2024?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But he's got to wait for the law to allow him to
Local
not have to resign to run.
With Jenna Barr, 9 to 11 is on. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.